Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and creative entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. Welcome to episode 156, Freedom to Be and Do, with Yvonne Perez Emerson. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the importance of self-awareness and helping you to be free in who you are and what you do. As creatives, being ourselves and allowing who we are and what we love to show up in our work is the ultimate differentiator in a noisy and crowded world. In the spirit of freedom and living your creative life, this week's Getting Work to Work interview is with serial entrepreneur and daydream believer Yvonne Perez Emerson. In the many roles and passions she has, Yvonne is creative director of The Study, founder of WeMake, and owner of Tillamook Station, a gallery and gathering space in Portland, Oregon. She is intensely passionate about building community in all that she does. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/156. The topic of freedom is very interesting to me, specifically the freedom to be who we are and the freedom to do what we do. Recently, I was reading the book Rise of the Youpreneur by Chris Ducker, and he defines who we are as the following things: the things that you can help people with, your experience, your personality, your stories, and the people you want to serve. And when I think about who I am, I think about something a friend once told me. While I was setting up my video equipment to film a video of him, he looked at me and he said, "You know, I really love your work, but I'm waiting for you to show up in your work. Sometimes it feels just a little bit too polished. There's just something about you that's missing in your work." And even though this was said to me years ago, it's stuck with me ever since, because there's definitely a certain aspect of my creativity that I don't bring myself into, or the things that I love, into that work as well. It's definitely been a process of self-awareness and discovering who I am and really being okay with who I am. After this interview with Yvonne, I really was thinking about just something that she said about being unapologetically me. And I wonder sometimes if I'm okay with being unapologetically me. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt unapologetically you? I often feel like I have to apologize for my weirdness or the things that I love. And why is that? Why do I feel that I can't be me? What does it mean to bring who we are into our work? I think it very much is like what Chris Ducker says. It's our experiences, our personality, our stories. Story is definitely something that comes up in Yvonne's interview in a little bit. But really, what does story mean? It's our upbringing, the things that we learned as children, the things that we were passionate about, the things that we're passionate about now. These are the things that define us, the things that make us different from everyone else. Earlier this evening, a friend of mine came into my college class and was sharing just his journey. And he said, "You know, we could have everyone in this room design a logo and we would have 20 different logos. And that's exciting." That's what's great about creativity, is that we could all do the same task and it would be different. And so when we show up in our work, it's going to be different from what other people do because of who we are. So that's freedom to be who we are, but there's this other side of freedom to do what we want to do. This is really something challenging to grasp and wrestle with, because as someone said, if you don't want to work the 9-to-5 job, it's up to you to find and replace that with other ways to make money. This idea of freedom to do what we want to do, there's still a sense of responsibility to be responsible citizens, responsible spouses, responsible human beings. But I think at the core, the freedom to do what we want to do is really this idea that we don't have to play by the same rules as everyone else. And there's something empowering there that once you can kind of own that, it can unlock so many amazing things. That's why I love this interview with Yvonne, is because she's really giving a model for how you can do so many different things well while building community and really doing amazing work. So without further ado, let's get into this interview with Yvonne. It's pretty awesome. Yvonne, thank you so much for being on Getting Work to Work. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and share a little about what you do?
My name is Yvonne Perez Emerson, and I'm a designer, educator, and maker.
Nice.
The title on my business card says Daydream Believer. Been that far away for a long time. I own a small design studio called The Study, and I also own a gathering space and gallery called Tillamook Station. And I'm the founder of a design nonprofit called WeMake.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess I like extracurricular activities. I didn't get enough as a kid.
That's right. So you do so many different things. When did you know that you wanted to be a designer?
A designer? A long time ago. I mean, I always knew that I was a little different and that I needed to be creative in some way, so because it just made me happy. Mm-hmm. But when I was about 20 years old, I found out about a thing called commercial art. And I was a young mother. I had just had a baby, my second one. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is something that I can do and get paid at, and I can make art and get paid. What is this? And it was like a 6-month course. And I took that course and it was kind of fun. I would bring in my newborn in the to the class so I could feed him and then have someone take him back for me. And I learned everything by hand. It was all like 6 months crash course on typography, and we were given a toolbox with epidiographs and French curves and really cool proportion wheels and cool rulers. And I learned, you can make art for other people and get paid for it. And so I did that, and I got a certificate in commercial art. And there was no computers at that time and no internet. And right after I did that, I worked for a publishing company that produced Yellow Pages. And because I had two kids, I worked a swing shift.
Oh, wow.
It's really interesting. You went into this agency, and it was just this huge room, 4,000 square feet or more.
Wow.
Rows and rows of drafting tables. And everybody stood up, and we did everything by hand, all of our display type, everything at hand. We used a stack hammer and proportion wheels to reduce things. And it was pretty awesome. I mean, we were drawing everything we needed to draw. We drew all of our display type, everything we did, all the type except for the body copy. And then they got a Mac. One tiny little Mac came out, and I was working the swing shift, and I was like, what is this? I'm going to learn how to do this.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I went in there, and we were drawing borders over and over, so I was like, okay, let me see what this thing can do. And so I went in there, and I was like, we can make borders. I'm going to make a border library. But it was so inventive for them. I'm like, I'm making a border library now. We don't have to draw all of these for 3 shifts. And they were just like, oh my God, that's magic. Then the next thing you know, everybody was giving it up. And I was like, I just really wanted to learn how to use the computer. And so it's funny because I look at all these letterers and people doing stuff like that. And I'm like, man, I did that so much in my younger career. And I wish I would have stuck with it. But then the internet came out and I was like, okay, I need to learn about that too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's cool because as you're sharing your story, it sounds like you're uniquely prepared for kind of where the state of design is at today, where it's this handmade aesthetic with computers.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to see the progression and evolvement of it. I never got a degree. I could never afford to really go to school that much. And so I just kind of learned a lot by myself. I worked for a few years doing design. And then I did go back to school after I had a third kid. And I went to a junior college for design in San Diego. And I didn't get the degree from there, but I did get the internship that everybody wanted. And that kind of propelled me into doing what I do now, I guess.
That's awesome. When you were setting out on this journey, did you need a specific type of permission in order to do it, or were you just plain curious?
Well, I'm not one for asking permission to do anything. And I firmly believe that I am unapologetically Yvonne.
Nice.
I don't ask permission. I just knew that I was going to do it. Of course, people, you know, like adults in my life were already like, here you are with two kids and you're young and you're single and poor. What are you going to do? You're not going to do any, you're not going to do anything as being an artist. And I was just like, no, I know that this is where like just something inside of me was like, no, I need to keep pursuing what makes me happy.
That's awesome.
You know, riches will find me in some way.
So you're doing the study, you're doing Tillamook Station, and you're doing WeMake. What systems do you have in place so that you can manage all of those and do each of them well?
In general, hustle hard, be nice, be professional, don't take stuff personally, and put yourself out there. And obviously, you got to fake it till you make it. The study is where I make my living. So I hustle hard to make my living there. And, you know, up until this point, I mean, I started WeMake about 7 years ago. We have an anniversary in October, but it really started way before October around this time. 7 years ago. And that was just as a passion project, you know, it was me and I had this idea and then I brought a couple people in and we grew this brand and then other people, you know, wanted to be a part of doing something else. And for me, it was more about highlighting and showcasing the makers and the people in Portland that were doing things because we were all doing things. And you know, I wanted to tell those stories. And so we did. We told a lot of stories through video and interviewing and stuff. WeMake is not about me. It's about community. So for me, it's like that kind of organically just is what it is. And, you know, I certainly do hustle at times with WeMake because there's a certain level aesthetic that I want and there's a certain level of presence that I want and just professionalism that I want with the organization. But it's not something like I'm going to start this organization and make it huge. I don't want that, you know, with it. I mean, we're grassroots and I want to be that way. We don't have sponsorships. We don't have memberships. When people want to be a part of something, you know, then there are, you know, of course, agencies will help support, like if we have a conference or whatever, but that doesn't mean they have to speak at our conference, you know, it's like they got to do it from their heart. And then, you know, I've been at Tillamook Station, we're going on our 5th year pretty soon. And, you know, I found this place. I actually knew the owner of it. And he's like, I got this space, come and see it. And it was in dire shape. Have you been to Tillamook Station?
I have not, but I've seen a lot of photos just from Design Week Portland and all the cool events that you had recently.
Oh, okay, cool. It's a sweet little gem in here in North Portland. It's North Portland, but it's really close. It's like right off of Broadway, so it's really close. Okay. But, you know, I was like, okay, it was 4 times much more money than I was spending at my other place. But I just looked at it and it had a lowered ceiling and a raised floor and a whole big hole in it. And I just looked at it and I could see the hangar style ceiling above all of that. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And my husband and I took off 2 months and we just built the space out. And that's we awesome. Built it out. I have my studio in here and then there's 4 other studios and a conference room and then a gallery space in the middle of it. And we built that gallery space out for WeMake, essentially, you know, for community and community events. But we're not, it's not an event space. And so when people want to start using the space, and I'm like, I can't handle like all of those things at once. So my husband, like when anybody wants to use the space, I send them straight to him. So he handles that part of Tillamook Station, and I handle like programming that I want to come in it. So we're going to do a little bit more gallery shows and stuff like that, and I'll be curating stuff. But any other thing, it's him. And we don't call it an event space, and we don't advertise it. It's kind of word of mouth that people find out about us. And if it's a good fit, we will make it happen.
That's awesome.
That managing it, I guess, you know, it's like I have a team at WeMake, and I have my husband. He helps at WeMake too. And he does the Tillamook Station, and I really need to focus on the things that I'm doing.
Yeah. I love the stories that you're telling, because it really speaks to just how much work and effort and hustle that it sounds like you do on a daily basis. And that's just amazing and aspirational. So thank you.
Thank you.
So you've got all this stuff, you're doing all these things. What's one struggle that you have to consistently work through, and how do you work through it?
Well, I would say slowing my roll, you know, I got a lot of things going on, and I have a lot of ideas, and I can't do them all, but I'm not one for, you know, not trying. You know, I work really hard, and then I need to make sure that I play hard, because I learned a long time ago that I'm not my best self if I don't take care of myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So I work really hard on self-care and finding a balance. You know, I haven't brought work home in over 6 years. If I needed work late, I work late. If I need to come in on the weekends, I'll come in, but I don't have a laptop at home. I don't answer emails on the weekends. I come to the studio, I'm here like 6:45. And sometimes I don't leave until after 8, but for the most part, I work from 7 to 6. That's a long enough day to work hard, you know? Yeah. So I have to like slow my roll and rein it in. For the most part, if I come in at 7, you know, I'm drawing or I'm working on some kind of craft that's personal for me, or I'm making something. And if I have a lot of work, I eat my breakfast and go to work. But I think finding that routine, definitely that system, you know, I come in, I eat my breakfast, I get on my iPad and I draw, you know, or I make something, and then I start work at 9 o'clock.
You've kind of talked about it a little bit throughout this episode, but how do you approach learning new things?
That's a great question. Years ago, I decided that I was going to teach myself 5 new things a year. And I have managed to do that and more since I said that, through workshops or classes or exposing myself to art and culture in our community. I really approach learning by delving into the process of what I'm learning. I'm not worried about trying to make something that's perfect while I'm learning. Instead, I focus on the function and then later practice the methods. I think we have to have an open mind when we're learning. Even though you might know what the instructor is teaching you, you don't know it their way. And, you know, I've taught for many years and I'm still a learner, and I learn from my students. I learn from my designers, you know, I learn from other makers. And so it's kind of cool that I'm able to, you know, bring inspiration to Portland. I'm also bringing it to me, which is great. I don't really sit down a lot of times when we have a workshop or here, because I'm, you know, either I'm facilitating or helping facilitate, or I'm recording or something like that. Yeah. But when I see struggles with students all the time, you know, they come in, they want to make something with this workshop, and they want to make it so perfect. And I'm just like, just enjoy the process. And, you know, from there, you'll learn better, I think.
What do you think that drive for the perfect is when students are learning? Because I see that all the time as well.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, like I have a very high expectation of quality of work that I put out. And I taught at PSU for 7 years, six years.
Oh, cool.
It was kind of fun. I don't have a degree, but I got to teach in a university. I think that I understand that wanting to make it perfect. And I think that there is, when you're doing work that you're putting out to the world for either a client purpose or something that is representative of you, then yes, you know, it takes time and care to nourish that, to make it good, because we don't want a bunch of shit out in the world either, right?
So like, that's absolutely right.
We want it to be good design and smart design. I was talking about this to a group of students who came in here the other day. I'm like, you know, design smart first and make it smart and beautiful. But when you're learning something, you know, you have to take that for what it is, learning, you know, listen, have that open mind, be open to mistakes, kind of let go. You know, it's really important sometimes to, I think, you know, if you're going to go learn something new, especially if it's a hands-on something, maybe, you know, do it with your left hand that whole time or something, you know, just take in the process of learning and like I said, and then practice that method later. And practice makes perfect.
Right? So what's one book or resource that has impacted your life?
Well, I've read a lot of books, but I really think that in a resource is, I am a believer in the teachings of the law of attraction. And what we put out into the world is what we receive. So for me, I mean, on a daily basis, I think that through, you know, really being in the moment sometimes and recognizing daily, you know, being thankful for the things that you have, and also, you know, putting it out there for yourself and asking the universe, if you will, you know, like, hey, I really want to make $100,000 this year. Let's do this. You know, the more you put it out there, the more that it'll come back to you, and surrounding yourself with people and things that make you happy. Because ultimately, you know, I think that we all are storytellers, and we need to find and tell our own story. You know, you can be inspired by things that are out there and people, the work that they're doing, but ultimately it's you and your story that is going to make you happy, not someone else doing it for you.
Yeah.
Or write, you know, or you, you know, writing someone else's story. You've got to make it. And so the law of attraction, it helps you do that. And so for me, I don't know, maybe it's a little woo-woo or meditative, but I'm a believer.
Yeah. Well, and I think the important thing is, you know, it's not that you're trying to like bring people into it. You're just sharing it. And that's where I think authenticity comes in, is like, you are really living it.
Yeah. I try to live a lifestyle. People tell me all that. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, and why I have like all of these different things is because most of my life I've worked for myself. I did get that internship and then worked for someone else and then started my own design studio in San Diego, and did that for 6 years, and then moved up here and became art director of the agency. And then shortly after was the ACD there, creative director. And I did that for 6 years, and I fucking hated working in agencies. I mean, I liked the people and I liked the budgets, but I didn't like working for someone else and working hard, because I work hard. So I'm like, if I'm going to work that hard, I'm going to do it for myself, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And so now, you know, people are asked me all the time, how do you do all this stuff? And I have a lot of energy, maybe. I'm a little ADD. And also, I think a lot of it is about my lifestyle. You know, if I want to get on my motorcycle and ride down to California by myself, I'm going to do it, you know? Or if I want to throw a gallery show in here one day, I'm going to do it. You know, if I want to start a new workshop where we make stuff and get high, I'm going to do it. I could be making a lot more money maybe if I work for someone else, but I don't think it's about the money for me. It's really about having the freedom to be and do what makes me happy. You know, as long as I'm nice and putting out there, I'm a firm believer of creating community. And so doing all of these things on the side on my own helps to make that happen. And I think if I worked for somebody else, I wouldn't have the time or energy to do it. So I just go keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. So I imagine as you're doing all these things, the story that you're telling shifts and morphs throughout the years. What would you say the story that you're working on telling right now would be?
Well, I was like looking at your questions. I was like, holy shit, I've been doing this for a long time. I am 51 right now. I will always be a designer and I will always be a maker, because like I said earlier, it just I just can't imagine anything else, you know, it just like fuels me. Things are shifting and, you know, I always want to kind of be like, goes back to that learning thing and evolving and reinventing ourselves. And I think that it's really important for people to reinvent themselves often. It's very liberating to do that. And I guess I'm a pretty solid risk taker. And I think that that is something that, you know, maybe makes me and other people like doing things like me, you know, different. It's because we do take risk for the future. I mentioned a little bit about smoking weed and making stuff. I started 2 years ago, this thing called Make and Marry. And it's basically the same philosophy as we make in terms of process and gathering with people. But the only difference is that we combine cannabis with it.
Nice.
And, you know, I have this great space and I stopped teaching at PSU. And when I stopped teaching there, I stopped because I couldn't. I didn't have the capacity to do everything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, people are always wanting to rent our space for workshops, but they never want to pay. Like, okay, wait a minute. And I'm like, I know a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to do one. And that's when marijuana became rec legal. And I was like, I'm going to do a thing and I'm going to call it Make and Marry. And I'm going to do it and we'll see how it goes. And so I kind of started out. And when I did, I didn't know anybody in the cannabis industry. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to teach macrame. So I started teaching a lot of classes myself. Then we started getting written up in magazines. And like I said, nobody anywhere was doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so that was really exciting. And I would like teach a class for 3 months and then I'd be off and teach a class. And then I'm like, oh wait, I got design week. Oh wait, I have this. Like I should have done a cannabis event for design week 2 years ago, but I did it. This was the first year that I did and we were the only cannabis event, which was really cool. Travel Portland came out and featured us and stuff. So that's kind of exciting. Like this whole new world. I just spoke at a conference in March, a cannabis conference, and my subject matter was how do we change the stigma of the cannabis industry through art, design, and experience. And to me, I'm really not focusing these workshops on people in the cannabis community, although I love the people in the cannabis community. It's more about the makers and the artists and the creative person. And you know, how do we take care of ourselves and make us better creatives? And cannabis is one way to do that, as well as many other self-care great things happening. But, you know, everyday people smoke weed. Mm-hmm. You know, your moms, your dad, your neighbors, bosses, you know, I'm like, we have to be those storytellers. Those everyday people need to be those storytellers to make it normal, because it's a great thing. You know, there's a lot of, it's very similar to the maker communities in so many ways, you know, and it just goes along with it. So that's kind of like a new thing that's from there. I'm focusing really hard on Make and Marry this year. So I've been doing workshops every month. And then I'm working on a new cannabis product line using cannabis essential oil and in aromatherapy, which is non-psychoactive, and also a full spectrum CBD. I have a line of candles, some face serums, some inhalers, and some soaps coming out pretty soon. Wow. Yeah. I'm like, hopefully it's wow, because, you know, it's all self-invested, but
yeah,
I'm like, I want to be designing for the cannabis industry. I mean, as designers, you know, here we have this whole new industry that's open. Up till now, it's getting a little better, but for the most part, it's pretty shitty. Mm-hmm. The brand is really, it really needs help in defining it. And I think that we have, especially in Oregon, it being legal, that we have, we're right on this cutting edge of something, and we could really help that industry look a lot better and be a lot better and tell their stories better. Everything doesn't have to be green with pot leaves all over it, you know? And it's exciting for designers because it's logo design, it's package design, it's storytelling. Yeah. That's kind of my mission. And then for Tillamook Station, we're going to really focus on a lot more gallery shows this coming up year and trying to hone it all together.
Yeah. Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for sharing everything that you do. Thank you just for being an example of being an awesome entrepreneur and taking those risks every day and just being unashamedly you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means so much to me that you are here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and perhaps people who need more freedom in their lives? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. You can drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at Chris Martin Studios, or you can find me hanging out on Twitter. I'm at CM Studios. I want to take one last moment and end with this awesome quote from Yvonne. Hustle hard, be nice, be professional, don't take stuff personally, put yourself out there, and obviously, you've got to fake it till you make it. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.